Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Cloudera on Federal News Network.
To become organized for cybersecurity, agencies need to get their data organized. Beyond data lakes or data stores, important as they are, the government needs what you might call a concept of operations. That's where one of the U.S. Cyberspace Solarium Commission's top recommendations comes in. For more, I spoke with Commission Senior Director Robert Morgus. The Commission recommended that joint collaborative environment. Let's talk about what the objective there is first, and then we'll talk about how it might be constructed.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Tom. The joint collaborative environment is, as you said, a recommendation that the Commission came out with March of 2020. The idea behind it is to create a collaborative environment, as you can probably tell from the title, that would help pool federal government data on cyber threats and cyber incidents, and eventually allow the private sector to plug in and both share information in and then glean insights out. I think the way that we look at this particular proposal being implemented, if it does come to fruition over the next few years, is in a couple of steps where you'll have to work on the FedGov side to get the information that the different departments and agencies, both on the high side and the low side, collect. We need to get that all sort of consolidated, standardized, and sort of interoperable, shared into this environment. And then the second step will be to figure out a way to plug the private sector in.
And would this include all of the federal government, that is to say the intelligence community, the Defense Department, and civilian agencies?
It's a good question. And I think ultimately the answer should be yes. Whether or not we get there, I think is still an open question. I think the model for something like this is looking at the UK, where they've got the National Cybersecurity Center. And the big thing there, they've got sort of a high side floor, basically, in the building. They've got a low side floor. And those two talk to each other, but they're not necessarily in the same environment. I think I could foresee something similar with the joint collaborative environment, where you have a high side that is plugged into and talking to low side, potentially providing insights, but you don't necessarily have all of the high data flowing directly into the environment.
Almost like a Bletchley Park for the 21st century.
Not dissimilar.
All right. And where does the Commission envision that this joint collaborative environment would live? There would probably be, I'm guessing, one agency that would be the managing director, if you will, to operate it.
Yeah, I think the logical place for it, given the sort of interest on the FedGov side and then plugging the private sector, would be CISA at DHS. I think that makes the most sense, given the amount of touch points they have both across the federal government from the FedGov IT side and then with the private sector. The key then becomes how you integrate the intelligence community into it. And that's a relationship that I know, DHS and the FORT, for example, are working on that relationship already. And that's something that I think still needs to be ironed out.
And for this to happen, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, great big data store and everyone contributes all their data. But it sounds like a lot of groundwork would be required on the part of agencies to be able to share data. And there would have to be some kind of process by which the data could be made interoperable. How do you see that all working?
Yeah, so there are a few things that need to happen. And I think the first big movement is going to be an authorization from Congress, because this needs to be resourced and authorized before we can do that. And I think part and parcel of that, there needs to be some sort of nudge, likely from the Hill, to get the federal departments and agencies that do collect relevant cyber threat data, cyber incident data, to get them to start talking to one another about how they make sure that data can interact with data from other agencies, right? So standardization, interoperability. There needs to be some sort of conversation about the actual infrastructure that would enable this, right? I mean, when we talk about the joint collaborative environment, we think about a cloud environment. What does that mean in terms of how agencies plug in? What sort of infrastructure do they need in order to modernize, in order to sort of be able to actually interoperate with the cloud environment that's hosted at DHS?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of agencies already have cloud computing resources and contracts that they're using, both DOD and the now intelligence community, as well as the civilian agencies. So those existing mechanisms, though, I guess have different levels of security, different levels of applications that they have in there. You're looking for something that would be totally separate from any of those?
Not necessarily, although, you bring up the security of the environment. And I think that's one of the big challenges that something like this will face, because it is simultaneously supposed to be open to the outside. The private sector will be plugging in, but you also want to make sure that you're not sort of leaving it open for adversaries to come in.
All right. And so let's envision then that there is a joint cooperative environment. It exists, and there's 88 petabytes of data within there. What would be the application of it? How would it work in terms of actually detecting and responding to threats?
So I think that the big thing that the environment would be able to do is provide more of a real-time environment than what we have right now. I don't know, Tom, you know, the anecdote we hear about the way that information flows between departments and agencies right now is, you know, the most common mode of data sharing or information sharing is right now Microsoft Outlook. The environment would allow folks to share data more quickly. I think the key there is you're sort of approaching real time when you talk about data sharing at that point. Ideally, you'd see agencies, departments and agencies plugging in and sending their feeds directly to the environment and allowing others to sort of query that data set, look for, you know, tactics, TTPs that they can sort of glean and look at how they might be able to better protect their own networks. Ultimately, I think you'd like to see the private sector eventually, probably starting with the sort of big critical infrastructure providers plugging in the same way that we'd see departments and agencies. Though, like I said at the beginning, I think that's kind of a two-step process. The first step is to get, you know, the FedGov's house in order before we can really bring the private sector in any meaningful way.
I would think the metadata would be just as important as the data, because in order to do research, to query a database, you have to know what's there. And so the metadata about what is in there and to whom it's available would seem to be a really important imperative to have in the center.
I would think so. And, you know, we have heard about the value of metadata in especially in analyzing threats, and particularly in sort of translating threats across different environments to different departments, different agencies, different sort of defensive assets. So yeah, I think, you know, the metadata will be just as important as sort of some of the granular indicators of compromise and the like.
Robert Morgus, Senior Director for the U.S. Cyberspace Solarium Commission. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Data travels at the speed of light, moving past us in every direction. It's easy to feel overwhelmed in the chaos of it all, but what if you could take it all in, refocus it, filter it, direct it? What would you discover? Something profound? Something beautiful? Something that moves you? The right data moves leaders and organizations to bring their vision to life. Cloudera, data that moves you. Visit cloudera.com/public sector to learn more.
Welcome back to our interview with Robert Morgus, Senior Director of the U.S. Cyberspace Solarium Commission. And for this database, let's call it data lake, whatever you want to call it, this data store, this environment, I can envision it sending alerts out in real time as algorithms attached to the data detect things, but also as a research environment where people can go back and look at the long context, for example, of what was happening or whatever research purpose they might have. Can the environment, as you envision it, support both real-time alerts and queries as well as research based on large stores of data that's maybe no longer operationally relevant?
I think in an ideal world, yes. I think it's going to take some time to get there. You know, I think about the success of the environment sort of in the 2-year, the 5-year, and the 10-year time frame. After it's sort of authorized and starts being implemented. And I think in the 2-year timeframe, you're looking at it more being a sort of relevant real-time information sharing environment that for the most part, the federal government, especially on the civilian side, the low side, are plugged into. As you grow sort of the 2 to 5 year timeframe, you start to see more of that longitudinal data, more opportunities for folks to plug in from a research perspective, and you start integrating the high side in. You know, after 5 years, I would like to see the environment welcoming, you know, critical infrastructure providers and having a clear process for them to plug in. And then sort of over the longer term, I think what is potentially really interesting about this would be sort of the DevSecOps opportunity and the opportunity for folks to start building applications and building new widgets in and on the environment in order to sort of make some of that a little bit easier, a little bit more approachable for folks. And I think, you know, those are all good outcomes. But like I said, it's going to be a graduated approach when we actually get going on this.
And getting back to the concept level of this, how do you see the governance being set up for it? Say DHS were to house it and operate it, or DHS, GSA in some combination that we've seen before in other types of cross-government types of issues or projects. Who would be in charge and how do you decide disputes? Because getting federal agencies to share anything is a great concept until you actually ask them to do it.
Yeah, I think DHS has most of the authorities they need to be in charge here. But I will also say, you know, when you start plugging the classified side in, it becomes a little bit more complex. And I think that what we may ultimately need to see, and this is still to be determined, and I think it'll be determined in legislation, is, you know, how, for example, the fort plugs in. And if they are sort of a core stakeholder in this environment, what does that mean from a governance standpoint? Do we see sort of a co-run, a co-administered environment where the fort and CISA are, or DHS as a larger body, are sort of co-administering, co-running? To your point, where does GSA plug in? I'm not entirely sure. I think, you know, when I think about the key stakeholders, I do think about those two, NSA and DHS at this point.
Sure. And what about the security of the JCE itself? How would that, I mean, if you have an insecure data site about security, then you really don't have much then, do you?
Yeah, I think we'd be relying on the Department of Defense to play a large role in securing the data set itself. I think, you know, to my earlier point, though, it's a challenging equation and a challenging nut to crack, just because you want this to be accessible to outsiders. You want this to be accessible to the private sector, for example. But you also want to make sure that you're not leaving sort of all the doors open for everyone to wander in who possibly could. So that's a big challenge. And I think it's one that as we sort of think through the concept in implementation, that we'll ultimately have to work out.
And the commission itself is a creature of Congress. And what is your sense of their receptivity to this idea, especially on the resourcing side?
Yeah, it's a very valid question. I think, you know, there's a lot of interest from the conceptual in the concept of it. We're still sort of trying to figure out what exactly we think the sort of 2-year, 5-year, 10-year costs are going to be. We're working with Congress and with the relevant research organizations over there to try to figure that out exactly, and CBO. I think we will likely see some form of movement on this, whether it is a study on how this could potentially work, or whether we actually see some authorization and folks sort of getting hitting the ground running over the next year. I expect, you know, there's a decent chance that we'll see this concept pop up in this year's Defense Authorization Act.
And that's Robert Morgus, Senior Director of the U.S. Cyberspace Solarium Commission. When we return, we'll hear from Tom Sasala, the Chief Data Officer for the Department of the Navy. I'm Tom Temin.
Data travels at the speed of light, moving past us in every direction. It's easy to feel overwhelmed in the chaos of it all, but what if you could take it all in, refocus it, filter it, direct it? What would you discover? Something profound? Something beautiful? Something that moves you? The right data moves leaders and organizations to bring their vision to life. Cloudera, data that moves you. Visit cloudera.com/public sector to learn more.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our Federal Insights show. For this segment, One Large Agency's Approach to Storing and Organizing Cybersecurity-Related Data, I spoke with Tom Sasala, the Chief Data Officer for the Department of the Navy.
So clearly, from a Department of Navy perspective, the Chief Data Officer is responsible for the management and oversight of all the data in the department. And because of that size and scope, we've broken the management of the data up into 12 separate information domains. And so we've assigned data stewards to those information domains to help manage. And then we have a monthly data governance board meeting where we meet and we discuss cross-cutting data activities that kind of touch all those domains, and then talk about kind of top-level policies that are coming down from the Secretariat, which is where I sit, that might affect the Navy and the Marine Corps individually as the services that support the military department. So.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty dynamic environment with a lot of data coming in all of the time. What are some of the top domains there? I would imagine cybersecurity is one of them, but probably operational data from ships and aircraft, right, and so on.
So interestingly enough, we don't have an information domain for cyber. We roll that into our enterprise operations side so that we can combine not only just the cyber data, but with some of the other IT operations aspects like investments and funding and that kind of stuff. But the most, I would say the most dynamic areas really come on two sides. On the business side, we have the financial management and human capital side, where there's a lot of activity around audit readiness and just general training and readiness of the forces, right? And then on the warfighting side, we have a lot of activity that is ongoing right now in theater, support to the COCOM, specifically CENTCOM and Pacific Rim right now for us. And, you know, obviously with everything that's going on in the world these days, that's become very important. And so we are providing direct support to the chairman and his support staff, as well as SecDef and DepSecDef in that area. And then we have some ongoing work under that we're doing for the Deputy Secretary of Defense on what she calls the business health metrics. But we've been working on that in terms of sexual harassment and prevention, or as we call it, integrated violence detection and prevention, right? Which is kind of trying to get a handle on all of our destructive behaviors and that kind of stuff, and then doing some predictive analysis in that area, as well as just kind of some general business indicators, like are we spending our money completely and appropriately? Is it being applied to the right resources? And then the last thing that we're really supporting, which is a big IT rationalization effort right now, which is where are we investing today? Is it aligned to our needs for the future? And is there anywhere where we can say maybe realign investments to recapitalize or kind of get out of some of the technical debt that we're experiencing?
So that really, the way you explain it, then it makes sense that cybersecurity is a cross-cutting area right. for all of those domains. The threats right. might be different, but they all have a cyber component that you need to protect that data.
Exactly. And so the same with like command and control. We don't have an information domain for command and control because there's so many things that fall into that command and control bucket. And so there were a lot of conversations early on because the way that the Department of the Navy is structured from a resource management perspective, there is a separate C2 bucket, right? And there is a separate sort of cybersecurity or mission aspect there. But, you know, data is a horizontal enabler, and that's what makes this all very challenging, right? Some things are easy to wrap your head around, like financial management or medical, right? Those are fairly well defined. They actually have laws around them and handling restrictions around them. And then some of them are more, like I said, horizontal in nature. And so we have a little combination. It's almost like the way the COCOMs are structured, right? Where you have geographic and then, you know, kind of functional. So Transcom supports everyone, but they support CENTCOM and, you know, Southcom and whatnot. So it's kind of similar to that. So we're really struggling a little bit with how do we address those horizontal data aspects and get someone who is an expert in that area, like a cybersecurity professional, right? But to support all the rest of the domains, and what are the cybersecurity aspects of financial data versus operational data, right? Vastly different concerns, right? But there's still a cyber component to it.
And with respect to the information that might be coming from cybersecurity types of sensors, network devices, and so forth, that is nevertheless gathered and used for analytical purposes and response purposes, fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So there's real-time network monitoring data and true cybersecurity penetration information is being gathered, you know, continuously over the air, if you will, right? And then there's also the kind, I don't want to call it static, but the less real-time components of what assets are on the network, how are they patched, that kind of stuff. And so the work, there's a lot of ongoing work right now to fuse that real-time incoming sensor data with the kind of where are we in the story data, and then sort of try to do some predictive analysis saying, hey, if we're seeing this emerging threat over here, are we positioned either to defend it or do we have a potential vulnerability that we might know about that is an unpatched vulnerability, for example, like that, so we can get a little bit ahead of some of the curve. That's an emerging area that we're working on right now. So that's actually very exciting from a cybersecurity perspective, is getting out of that reactionary mode and getting more into that predictive and prescriptive analysis and getting ahead of the bow wave, you know, if you can. But as you know, cybersecurity with all the zero days and things being discovered all the time and, you know, persistent state actors is quite a challenge as you get that kind of persistent threat that is just a common deluge of continuous activity that is difficult to ferret that out from some of the more directed attacks.
And as the Navy tries to get into that less reactionary mode and more into the predictive analytics mode to head off things before they become a danger, do you also use data similarly gathered by the other armed forces?
Not so much. What we do share is vulnerability and attack information. The issue with the sensor data is there's just so much of it, right? And so what we're actually trying to do across the DoD writ large, just not the Navy, but is how do we make a distributed workforce approach to the sensor data so that we can keep the volume of the data down, but get the result and analytics up, right? So then now we're sharing the results of the analytics without having to send all the NetOp data to one location for a bulk analysis. And as you know, the network traffic volume of network traffic data is just going up and up and up. So the amount of information that needs to be processed is going up. And so therefore the need for automation and analytics to detect this in more real time is ever increasing, right? So the traditional way of doing maybe cybersecurity analytics maybe 10 years or so ago, which is more human centric, looking for indicators and then investigating manually, a lot of that needs to be pushed off now to automatic mechanisms, either using machine learning or artificial intelligence, that do a little bit more of that triggering for the human to dig into that you know, 0.5% instead of that 10%.
Got it. And just give us a sense of the quantities of data, you know, order of magnitude that you have to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to remember the exact numbers, and I'm probably going to get it wrong. But you know,
it's going up even as we speak.
It is, right. So we. There's different thresholds, but maybe it's probably best that I can maybe just speak to the local, what I have seen from the national capital area, and then you can maybe scale that out to the larger area. So, you know, there's usually between 10 or 50 million events per day that come in and then have some relevance to them, right? And then filtering that down to the ones that maybe are higher priority or have a little bit more teeth to them, which is usually in the 10% range. And then the goal is to get that down into the 1% of the things that we need to look at. But the challenge that we're starting to see, though, is what we like to call the low intensity conflict areas, right? Which is when you get the same activity over and over and over again, it has a tendency to fall down into the threshold of noise, right? But that activity might actually be significantly more important than a big spike in activity. And so that's what we're starting to see a lot of, as well as you've heard General Nakasone talk about some of the threats we're seeing, and some of the activity is actually coming from within the United States as the foreign actors are moving into assets inside the United States. And so that's a challenge for us because it looks like it's coming from a friendly location, right? And so it's not as easy to distinguish those known bad IP addresses, for example, when they're coming from Google or Amazon or you know, traditional cloud service providers, that kind of stuff.
And given all of this data that needs to be analyzed, what's your strategy for organizing it, adding the metadata, and then storing it in such a way that it can be useful and accessible?
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually a real challenge for us, given the diversity of the different data streams. So we've got some strategic things that are happening up at the DOM level. So we are engaging in a cataloging activity of finding all the sources of information. We want to appropriately put them in a catalog, put the metadata around them, like you mentioned, so that we know what type of data sets are coming from that source, right? And then the other thing that we want to add, which is something new, which is the kind of legal and statutory responsibilities around that data set. Who can we share it with? Who can't we share it with? How does that data need to be archived? Does it need to be stored for a certain period of time? Do we need to save it? Is there, you know, we get congressional requests for information all the time where we got to freeze records and that kind of stuff. So there's all of that that's happening. And then couple that with a kind of the volume of the data. So I mentioned earlier, this is how we're trying to map our information terrain that is linked very closely to our cyber terrain. So once we know where our data is, what system it's in, the sensitivities of that data, not just classification level, but just is it PII? It's unclassified, but it still, you know, needs to be protected in a certain way. And we couple that with some cyber intrusion information. We now will have a better understanding of knowing, well, what did the adversary potentially have access to, and what is the gravity of the situation, right? And as long as it's a relatively narrow attack that doesn't have a very, you know, a lot of horizontal movement within the network, we can narrow in pretty quickly once we get this inventory and we map out our terrain. And like I said, map that, overlay the information domains onto the server infrastructure and the compute infrastructure, so that we know the islands of goodness. And then the next step, which we're not there yet, but the next step is now we need to understand how we protect our data differently based off the different sensitivity levels and where the data exists. So maybe data that is CONUS, on-premise data center, that is low threat, needs to be protected differently than OCONUS data that is high value target for a foreign adversary, for example. And so that's kind of the next steps that we're heading over probably the next 12, 18 months or so we want to get to.
Tom Sisela, Chief Data Officer of the Department of the Navy. Earlier, we heard from Robert Morgus, Senior Director of the U.S. Cyberspace Solarium Commission. To hear any part of the show again or to share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for August, sponsored by Cloudera on Federal News Network.